My name is Angie Atkinson, and this channel is all about teaching you what I know to be true. You really can create the life you want. Welcome to the Queen Being Podcast. My name is Angie Atkinson, and on this podcast, I offer free coaching to help you discover, understand, and overcome narcissistic abuse and toxic relationships. I like to call it toxic relationship rehab. Does that sound good? Subscribe to this podcast or head over to youtube.com/Angie Atkinson, AngieAtkinson, and sign up for my channel. All right, let's get started. So listen, fear is a part of life, and the truth is that some fear is helpful. Today we're going to talk about how to transcend the fear in your life and find true freedom for yourself. All right, so let's start here. Listen, would you agree that maybe you're afraid to stick your hand in a fire or jump off a cliff? I guess I can't blame you for that one. I mean, if you weren't afraid of anything, you wouldn't live very long, would you? But most fears are crippling, and they influence your decisions in negative ways. So let's imagine we're walking through the woods and we get a thorn in our arm. We would probably just, you know, remove it and go along our life with our, you know, go along with our day with very little thought of that mild injury. But imagine if we didn't deal with it, huh? We left it in there. Eventually, that thorn, it would affect a lot of our decisions because it would become infected and sore. It would make us want to be careful not to bump anything. We'd certainly avoid sports. And my God, wouldn't we protect ourselves anytime someone walked too close to us? Eventually, we might develop a special cover for it or some tape over it, but then we might find ourselves worrying about finding clothes that fit over the thorn. We couldn't swim because the tape might come off, and gosh, wouldn't it affect our sleeping positions and so on and so forth? Fears are just like it, just like the thorn. A fear of talking to strangers affects the decisions that you make in your life and your career. The fact is that we all avoid types of things to make sure that we don't, you know, stir up the negative emotions that cause our fears. We avoid all kinds of things for that reason. So the more fears we have, the less freedom we enjoy. What do you think about that? Do you feel like you have a lot of fear in your life? A lot of times when we're dealing with narcissists, we absolutely do. Yeah, so the more fears we have, the less freedom we enjoy. I'm going to share with you some techniques that will help us to transcend our fears and really claim the level of freedom that we deserve, all right? Start right here. First, you need to become more aware. There's a big world out there, my friend, and a ton of different perspectives to consider. Sure, you might have an accurate perspective, but is it the best perspective to take? Could there be other accurate perspectives out there that might actually change your life for the better? Well, here's an example. Maybe you think that a fear of public speaking is totally normal and justified, but is it really? What's the worst thing that could happen to you if you made a mistake? Is someone going to stone you? Probably not. Look at all of your fears and sit down and make a list of them, all right? Decide which ones are causing grief in your life. Which fears are you spending the most time kind of working around? Which ones are really limiting you? Might want to get out a piece of paper and write this down. Determine why you're afraid. What are the possible consequences that are causing you to be afraid? Really, what's the worst case scenario? Now, the next thing you're going to want to do is start to deal with your fears just a little bit at a time. For example, if you're afraid of public speaking, like I said, try, you know, giving a speech to your kid, maybe a nephew or a niece. Then, you know, try giving it to three of them at once. Build up your tolerance until you can speak to thousands of people. See, the point is that you're going to use techniques like this to lower your fear. There are so many different tools for dealing with fear. I'm going to teach you about a couple of them. You know, some of them, such as the emotional freedom technique is very popular, the Sedona method, hypnosis, meditation, these are also options. You could use a psychologist if you're not making a lot of progress on your own, or get yourself a coach to help you choose to make the right kind of progress. You can use this stuff to make your life better. The next thing I want you to try is using a journal. Writing, for me, is very helpful, and for most of us, it'll be more helpful than thinking, because We take the things we write down more seriously than our self-talk, at least on a subconscious level. So as we're talking to ourselves constantly throughout the day, what would be the best way to talk to yourself? Do you want to talk to yourself as though you are a negative, bad person, and then what do you think you're going to accomplish? Try using a journal to record your thoughts and your fears and your progress instead of running them all through your head. Just focus on the positive. Finally, I want you to develop a new understanding of the word failure, okay? Many of the silly fears that we all have are certainly related to a fear of failure. Ask yourself, what's going to happen if I fail? Listen, failure can be a great thing, but only if you learn from it and apply it to your life. So imagine a life without any irrational fears. What would you do if you weren't afraid of falling? Listen, you can measure your personal freedom by the numbers of fears that you have. Everyone develops fears as a natural consequence of living. You, my friend, you have a choice. You don't have to keep your fears. So I want you to spend some time each day dealing with your fears and really start to reclaim your life. All right. Now, next up, I'm going to play the audio from one of my most recent YouTube videos for you because I think it's really going to help you to get your head around who you are as a person. I'm going to explain to you exactly what narcissists look for in victims and how they test their victims. I think this is going to help you to take your life to the next level. All right? So here you go.
Why did the narcissist choose you? Narcissists and other negative types of people take advantage of us. They drain our energy. They take our kindness without bothering to give us anything back for it. Whether you're dealing with an addict, an abuser, or just a straight up narcissist, your boundaries get disrespected. You deal with blame, criticism, and you're made to feel so bad about yourself that you don't even have the energy to leave sometimes, right? So what is it about you, my friend? What is it about you that creates such an attraction to narcissists? Why are narcissists so attracted to you? That's what we're talking about today at queenbeing.com. Let's get started. My name is Angie Atkinson, and on this channel, I offer free daily video coaching to help you discover, understand, and overcome narcissistic abuse and toxic relationships. I like to call it toxic relationship rehab. Does that sound good to you? If so, hit that subscribe button and let's get going. So, let me guess. You're someone who is kind of really compassionate by nature, right? You really care about other people. Do you kind of feel other people's pain and joy and any kind of emotion that someone else puts out there? Well, here's the thing. If you can relate to that, it makes sense that narcissists are attracted to you. You are someone who feels such strong love for people in the world and so much compassion. It's an intense combination, and it makes you want to give to people. It makes you want to help people, take care of people a little bit, right? A lot of times when people meet you, they're probably really amazed by your love and understanding, maybe your lack of judgment, or at least that's how it used to be before you met your narcissist, right? And now you probably find yourself being manipulated, being treated like you don't matter, being controlled. Narcissists are experts at manipulation and control, and they sense that you're a person who reacts strongly to their negative emotions or positive ones and does whatever he or she can to make everything better when the narcissist displays extreme emotion. There are some more things we should consider in this little equation, though. There are five big points that a narcissist looks for in someone like you and me, in someone they want to make into their primary source of supply. The first thing you have to realize is that narcissists need people who will stroke their egos. And I don't know about you, but I have this tendency whenever I'm with someone to try to really build up their self-esteem. I really want my person to feel really good about me and him or herself, okay? So anyone in my life, my husband, my children, every person I've ever dated, my friends, I work really hard to try to help build up their self-esteem. Just part of who I am, right? Well, if you're like that at all, or you have similar qualities to that, that's very attractive to a narcissist. The thing is, the narcissist's ego is surprisingly fragile. It's something to be aware of and be careful with. It's hard to not be yourself, though, isn't it? A narcissist wants someone they can count on. They like to say things like, oh, you're my rock, or, you know, they want someone steady and strong. A narcissist tends to be unpredictable. They tend to be outlandish. They tend to have big fantasy worlds they live in. They want someone they can count on to take care of them. They need that parent type relationship on some level with everyone. The next thing you want to think about is that narcissists want someone who has empathic qualities. They want someone who will take care of their needs. And that's one of the things they look for at the beginning of the relationship. They will display some extreme emotion or do or say something that makes it clear that they feel a certain way, and they watch for how you respond to that. Do you take care of their emotions, or do you just ignore them and move on? The next thing they want is they really enjoy smart people. A narcissist doesn't want to be with someone stupid. They want to be with someone who they can show off on their arm. They want to be with someone who can make them feel smarter themselves. They have a really interesting way of taking away from your personal energy and pretending it's their own. You know, I like to say they like to stand in our light sometimes. You feel what I mean? And finally, the narcissist needs someone who is self-sufficient up to a point. If you're not already there, they help you get there very quickly by emotionally isolating you. They isolate you not only from other people, but also from themselves by saying that they don't understand your problems, or the things that you talk about aren't legitimate or real, things like that. And then the fact is that narcissists take any insecurity that you might have in your life and they use it against you. So what they do is if they find out, you know, oh, I'm insecure about the fact that I wear glasses, let's say. I'm not, but let's say that I were. A narcissist might start, if it were a husband narcissist or, you know, someone I was dating or whatever, this person might say something like, oh, I just love how faces look without glasses. They're so beautiful without glasses. It's too bad you have to wear glasses. I bet you're really pretty under there. Things like that. So whatever the insecurity is that you happen to have, they're going to take it, twist it, and poke it in the back of you like a knife. You know what I'm saying? They're very vindictive, and they will hurt you on purpose because they can. So you'll get exploited in that way. Any type of insecurity you have will be exploited by the narcissist in order to further get what they want. What you get out of that then is you get someone who might be fun sometimes. You get someone who might make you interested, somebody who might look good, or somebody who might be good in bed, or none of those things. You get a narcissist. Because regardless of whether or not they have those qualities or any qualities that you do enjoy, which I'm sure they probably do at the beginning at least, by the time you get to the point where you're in the devalue and the discard phases, you're not getting any of that. You're getting the ugly side only, none of the good things, and it's miserable. Or at least it goes like this. At the beginning, you know, there's like, oh, everything's wonderful. And then it kind of goes like, here's the good stuff, here's the bad stuff. Kind of goes like this, kind of goes like this. And pretty soon you realize you've got all this bad stuff and like 5% good stuff. It's not enough. It's not enough. And then you feel stupid. But you're not stupid. I want you to watch a video that I did called This Is Why Something About Very Smart People Can Be Gaslighted. Everybody can be gaslighted, even and especially very smart people. And there are some good reasons for that. So I want you to watch that video. But what it comes down to is that we get sucked in. We think, oh my gosh, I finally found someone who gets me, or someone who excites me, because they mirror us and they figure out what we want and they become it during the love bombing phase. But then we find ourselves broken, and we find ourselves feeling lost and drained and like we've got nothing left. And ultimately we end up feeling less secure in ourselves than we ever have, and we end up thinking we're worth nothing. So how can you avoid narcissists in the future? One of the first things you can do is ask the person you're dating for something you need or want during the beginning of your relationship and see how they respond. So for example, let's just say that there's a movie you really want to see. Mention it to the narcissist and see if he or she makes it a point to, you know, make sure you see the movie. Maybe they want to go with you, or see if how they react. If they just, oh, that's interesting, and then they never do anything, try another thing. Try, you know, oh, I'd really like to, you know, go to this restaurant sometime. Or if you're going out to eat right then, say, hey, I heard about this great restaurant, and can we try that? See how they respond. A narcissist generally will think of a reason and a way to make it not about you. Now, sometimes during the love bombing phase, there will be some give. But remember, it's really easy to be fooled, because sometimes narcissists are really good at giving. But the catch is that it's got to be something that they want to give. Believe it or not, a narcissist is not always going to be very interested in someone who makes sure they get their own needs met. So if you can make sure that you get your needs met from the beginning of a relationship, chances are you won't. If they're a narcissist, it won't work out. They won't stick around. Another thing that you need to do is make sure that you have your deal breakers. So decide ahead of time what things are acceptable to you and what things are not in a relationship. For example, I have deal breakers even now in my marriage. And the deal breakers are, number one, don't cheat on me. Number two, don't hit me. And number three, don't hurt my kids in any way. If those things are violated in my relationship, I'm out without discussion, and it is a known fact in my relationship. The same thing applies to you. You should have your deal breakers, whatever they are. What are your deal breakers? Tell me in the comments below. Don't compromise your values for anyone, not in the beginning of a relationship or ever, especially if those are really intrinsic things, really things that are important to you. Don't allow yourself to ignore red flags. You want to give the benefit of the doubt, but don't be too permissive with that. Don't be too flexible. And what I mean is, you know, if you, let's say you're a vegetarian and you can't stand the idea of eating, you know, dating anyone who eats meat, which means you wouldn't be able to date me, but we're cool, right? Anyway, so you are a vegetarian. You've told everybody, you know what? I don't date people who eat meat. And everybody's cool with that, right? Well, watch what happens. What they do is they'll start to sort of push your boundaries slowly, right? So in this case, if you say, I'll never date anyone who eats meat, and this person, you know, orders a salad, and then they order a steak on the side on the first date, and they go, what? I'm eating salad. You know, and you like them so much that you're like, okay, well, I'll let you eat your steak, but I really don't like people who eat meat. Can we not eat meat again? And then, of course, one, now they've pushed your boundary. He says, I only eat steak on Saturdays, or I only eat steak once a year, and today's the day I eat steak. Whatever excuse they make, if you allow it, you allow that, then what you've done is you've pushed your boundary. And you put, you know, so make sure you maintain your boundaries. That's an important part of this whole deal of avoiding a narcissist, narc repellent, or whatever you want to call it. And finally, I've said this a bazillion times, but finally, let me say it. Don't commit yourself too fast. Make sure you take plenty of time. If you're dating somebody, you can't tell if they're a narcissist, but you really like them or whatever, because it's really hard to see a narcissist during the love bombing phase. Would you agree? But this is a red flag. If they rush, if they're telling you they loved you within 2 or 3 weeks, if they tell you they see their children and their future children in your eyes, or they, you know, they start talking about, you know, what if you had my last name or I had your last name or whatever, you know, marriage. Think about these things. Give yourself time. Make yourself wait a certain amount of time before you commit to this person. And if sex is something that makes you feel really connected to someone, wait a while on sex, okay? Because I know that for a lot of us, sex is a very big connector. It makes us feel connected to a person. And so if you're one of those people, make sure that you don't have sex too early. Give yourself, some people say 6 dates is a good amount of time. Some people say longer. Some people say less. Do whatever feels right to you. Make sure that you protect your heart, that you keep your mind open and aware. I don't want you to shove someone off just because they had lettuce in their teeth or something, right? But I don't want you to just accept every single little infraction. Something like lettuce or spinach in a person's teeth is no big deal. It's, you know, unless maybe they refuse to remove it and they add some more in there. I mean, that would gross me out, I gotta tell you. But someone who violates your personal ethics, someone who asks you to do the same, someone who makes you feel less than, small, not good enough, someone who makes you wait for them or doesn't show up when they say they will, someone who lies to you, these are the people you need to watch out for. Be careful. Have standards, but don't be so rigid with small things that you miss somebody really good. Does that make any sense? And now it's time for the question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you ever been with a narcissist? And if so, what do you think attracted the narcissist to you? And do you think you attract narcissists all the time or just sometimes? Share your thoughts in the comments below and let's talk about it. That's all I've got for you right now. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. I'll see you soon.
It's my mission to teach others what I know to be true. You really can create the life you want. Take care of your body. Take care of your soul. Nurture the real you and introduce him or her to the world. Be comfortable in your own skin and in your place in this world. Take your spot. Take it now. And the universe will take its cue from you. You feel me? If so, subscribe to my channel. Let's get it done together. Next up, we've got a voiceover artist sharing the benefits of sleep with you and how the lack of sleep can affect your brain. All right, here we go.
The right nutrition can make a huge difference to your brain power, and so can dabbling in nootropics and even TDCS, as long as you're careful with it. Then there's the importance of using natural brain training by stimulating yourself with lots of new experiences and challenges. But despite all this, there is still one alternative method that is far more effective when it comes to giving you an immediate boost in your cognitive function, productivity, and pretty much every aspect of your brain power. And that is to sleep more. If you're not getting the best night's sleep possible, then you're not performing at your best. It's that simple. And that's because you're still going to have a build-up of adenosine in your brain, slowing you down because your brain actually strengthens connections formed during the day, during the night. So it's while you sleep that you replenish many of your neurotransmitters. And in short, this is an absolutely crucial process, even depressed, for putting you back on top of your mental game. Skip it and you can expect to feel sluggish, slow, forgetful, and quite possibly even depressed. Most people overlook this absolutely crucial factor though, and will continue to abuse their sleep, trying to work longer hours or wake up earlier. In the long run, this will be guaranteed to damage your productivity and your brain power, so get to sleep. If you want to improve your sleep and thereby wake up refreshed and better able to focus on what you're doing, then follow these tips. Having a hot bath right before bed is a fantastic way to encourage sleep. This will help to relax your muscles, which makes it a lot easier to sleep. Furthermore, though, it will also help you to produce more sleep-related hormones and neurotransmitters, and even to better regulate your temperature throughout the night, which also improves your ability to nap. Another important tip is to go to bed at the same time every night. Our bodies love routine because they're based largely on rhythms. Our sleep rhythm is called the circadian rhythm, and it's based not only on what time we wake up or go to bed, but also on external cues such as the sun and the weather. If you go to bed at the same time every day, your body will start to find its natural rhythm so that it's ready to sleep when you are and not before. You can also help this process by giving yourself a daylight lamp. And this is a lamp that's designed to mimic natural sunlight by producing light with a very similar wavelength. What's more, a daylight lamp can be set to come on gradually in the morning to mimic the rising sun. So, rather than being rudely startled awake, you'll be gradually nudged away by light, as you would have been during your evolution. This is also why it's so important to have thick curtains. If light comes in from outside, it can reach your brain via the thinner parts of your skull and trigger the release of cortisol to wake you up. But if you keep those curtains opaque, then you only have the light that you set to tell your body when to wake up. Other important tips are to create a quiet space to sleep in and to make sure that your bed is as comfortable as possible. It's also important to have a cool down period. Now, this is a period of time during which you're going to avoid anything that might stimulate you. That means you're going to avoid all forms of stress and anything that just wakes you up. So no phones, no computer games, and no bright lights. The best way to do this is to read something under a dim light. Reading focuses your inner monologue and thereby prevents your mind from wandering to stressful things. Meanwhile, concentrating on the text will make your eyes heavy, which also makes it easier to drift off, and a lot harder not to. The reason this cool down period is so important is because it puts you in a relaxed state ready for bed. This means you'll have more inhibitory neurotransmitters and fewer excitatory ones. And this is an important concept to understand because ultimately, both your brain and your body are only ever in one of two states, excited or inhibited. You're always either catabolic or anabolic. Throughout the day, we switch from being alert and ready to go to ready for bed and sleepy. When it gets dark and we're tired at the end of the day, we have cues from the darkness, from the adenosine buildup in our brains, and even from dinner, which causes a release of sugar and serotonin stroke melatonin in our brains. Together, all this slows down our heart rate and breathing, reduces brain activity, and puts us in a creative and chilled mental state. In the morning, though, bright light causes a flood of cortisol and nitric oxide in the brain, which boosts us up. Heading to work causes an influx of noise and bright lights to find their way into our brain and stimulate even more adrenaline and norepinephrine to wake us up further. Then comes the coffee for some more cortisol and dopamine, and the work for tons of each. And it's by switching between these two states that the brain is generally able to always perform the right job, the task at hand. The problem is we're always sending the wrong signals or trying to force ourselves to stay in one state too long. That's what happens when we play loud video games right before bed, or when we try and force ourselves to work hard after 4 p.m. or after we've just eaten. And a big part of performing to our best is to understand the importance of letting our brain go through its natural rhythms and trying to work with it to get the most from it. It's also important to try and avoid excess stress, because when you get too stressed, whether that's caused by physiological or psychological factors, this actually causes us to become so wired and focused that our prefrontal cortex entirely shuts down. This is a state called temporohypofrontality. While this can be a good thing sometimes during sports, it's actually the last thing you want during a conversation or when you're trying to be creative. CBT teaches us a lot of techniques we can use in order to overcome stress and put ourselves into the correct mental state for the job. These include visualization techniques, as well as challenging thoughts that might not be particularly effective. Meditation is also an incredibly useful tool to this end, and you can use it to address stress and put yourself in a much calmer and more relaxed state of mind as and when you need to. And finally, remember, it's absolutely essential that you get lots of exercise if you want to get the most out of your brain. Remember, your brain evolved to help you adapt and survive in the environment via your physical interactions with it. The vast majority of your brain is dedicated to moving your body. So if you want to encourage plasticity, then there are few things better than learning a new dance or a martial art. What's more, though, is that exercise boosts your memory, according to studies, and stimulates the production of countless crucial neurotransmitters and hormones. Even beyond this, exercise is important to improve your circulation so that you might get some more oxygen to your brain.
Next up, 3 ways to become a better you. Let's get going.
3 ways to become a better you. All of us dream of self-betterment. All of us imagine versions of ourselves that are more badass, more successful, more confident, and more attractive. In fact, this is one of the most common tropes that you see in the movies. Characters in films, books, and TV will almost always go through a kind of transformation at some point, or realization that sees them emerging stronger and greater than before. This is the apotheosis in Joseph Campbell's monomyth, and it is a clear sign that a drive for growth is ingrained deeply in the human psyche. So, how do you go about becoming that better you, super you? In this presentation, we'll explore 3 strategies that can make a huge difference. 1. Become stronger. An easy way to upgrade yourself is to become physically stronger through weight training. This has a profound impact on you as a person. First, becoming stronger will improve your appearance, your confidence, and your attractiveness. On top of that, being stronger will make you more formidable in combat and better able to take care of yourself. You'll become better at sports, you'll improve your metabolism by altering your hormones, and you'll be more handy whether you're moving furniture or opening jars. 2. Meditate. Just as you should strengthen your body, so too should you strengthen your mind. Meditation will help you to better react to stressful events, to increase your IQ and your concentration, and to increase the very size and weight of your brain, the most important parts at least. This is a transformative practice and something that everyone should engage in. 3. Learn. The other crucial thing that you can do to become a better version of yourself is to keep learning. Keep learning and discovering, and you will keep your brain in a plastic state, constantly growing and making it much easier for you to take on new skills while fortifying you against age-related cognitive decline. Learning means reading books and taking courses. It means learning languages, instruments, and skills like engineering. These skills will each give you new abilities that in themselves will make you a more useful individual and more self-sufficient. But at the same time, learning should also mean learning through travel, through experience. If you get yourself out into the open world and explore, you will gain a more rounded personality, a broader view of the world, and deeper understanding.
All right, that's all I've got for you today. Thanks so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. I'll see you soon. And don't forget, if you haven't already, go to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/AngieAtkinson to subscribe. I do live streams Monday through Friday and every Tuesday afternoon. I'll see you there. Thanks, and have a great day. It's my mission to teach others what I know to be true. You really can create the life you want. Take care of your body. Take care of your soul. Nurture the real you and introduce him or her to the world. Be comfortable in your own skin and in your place in this world. Take your spot. Take it now. And the universe will take its cue from you. You feel me? If so, subscribe to my channel. Let's get it done together.